Good morning and welcome to Project Joy. Happy 4th of July, Sherry.
Well, happy 4th of July to you too. Thank you very much, and to everybody joining us today, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's our assignment from yesterday. I neglect God and his angels for the noise of a fly, for the rattling of a coach, for the whining of a door. Incalculable goodness and beauty surround us in each moment, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. We're conditioned to ignore this magnificence, to give attention to any little irritation, real or imagined, that ego can find to focus on. I could celebrate that I can hear, but that music is so annoying. I could delight in my ability to see, but that whatever it is so unattractive. I could rejoice in my ability to feel if I weren't so uncomfortable. We can sit in an airplane, be transported across a continent, and complain that not only were we 20 minutes late, the internet didn't work. We can so easily lose sight of the miraculous, and our lives are filled with the miraculous when the voices and conditioned mind start their campaign of dissatisfaction. Today, practice expanding awareness to include the unnoticed magnificence. Let ego's dissatisfaction remind you to look for the goodness and beauty surrounding you.
Ashwini?
Yes?
Oh.
Can you hear me, Sherry?
Yeah.
Record and listen.
Record and
okay.
You were at the end.
Okay, you were.
Yes, there was a record and listen there. So how about we hear from our first caller?
All right, thank you.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Andrea calling.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi, I'm glad to get on. Calling to connect. And I love that quote because it just really describes exactly how ego works with me. And probably everybody else, but I really feel like it does it for me. And I guess what I'm seeing around that is yesterday I was doing some stuff, and what I noticed was I've been having a flare-up of plantar fasciitis, and usually what I try to do in the morning is go for a run and do yoga or, you know, go swimming, but I'm traveling, so I can't go swimming, and I'm not running because of the plantar fasciitis. And so what I do is I do that because ego, doesn't like the feelings in the morning because I have a lot of energy, and I feel like I need to dispel that energy. And the sensations are so much more pleasurable after I do my exercising. So what I saw yesterday was I had particularly sensations that I didn't like because I didn't have the best sleep. And, you know, I kind of woke up in this kind of like feeling like jet lagged. And I did yoga, but I couldn't really do my run. And so that was kind of a workshop for me to be with the sensation. And I kept remembering the quote during the day and just trying to refocus my attention. And then at one point in the day, there was this part where I felt this kind of like anger and sadness. And I think in the past, you know, 20 years ago, I would have gone with that, and that would have ruined the whole day, but I just noticed it and let it pass and refocused my attention. So that's what I'm seeing around the quote.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
So a couple of things about that. I don't know if you remember this event. I remember it very well because of exactly what you're talking about. There was a fellow, and I think his name was Jim Fix. He was a famous runner, that's what he did. And he was very famous for being really good at that. And he injured himself, and he could not run. And 6 weeks later, he committed suicide.
Oh, my gosh.
So he has been, for me, the cautionary tale, and I share it every chance I get with anybody else. So using something to avoid addressing what conditioning does to us is a very, very dangerous game to play.
Right.
So that's because sooner or later, it will set us up to be in the situation where we have no escape. And if we don't have the ability to be all right in that situation, then we're in deep, deep trouble, right? So the second piece of that that is really important to me is that I think you said I felt sad and angry.
Mm-hmm.
And just for all of us to consider, those are not feelings.
Mm.
Okay, sad and angry are not feelings. Those are labels that conditioning puts on a set of sensations in the body and the story that goes with that.
Right.
So all of that coming together so perfectly in what you're seeing, right? So there's the energy levels in the body. There are the sensations in the body. Conditioned mind says, oh, you're feeling blah, blah, blah. If you're not paying close attention, then it'll say, and the reason that you're feeling that is, and then it'll tell you a story. But
right.
for most of us, by the time we hit adulthood, we don't need conditioning to tell us a story. There's just this backlog of all of the things I've been sad about and all of the things that I'm angry about and always have been. And so we don't need to – just those sensations mean all that, right?
Yeah, and it's quick. It's so quick and it's so subtle that
right. –
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. It is. And so what you're really having a chance to do and what you're being required to do, life in its compassion, requiring us to face these things, you're being required to see that, no, it doesn't mean any of that. There's sensations in the body. I'm sitting here, you know, I just woke up. I'm lying in my bed. There are sensations in my body. I'm not having those experiences. Now, when you realize that, now you get to choose. Okay, well, what do I want to experience then? So let's label all of these sensations in my body. Can't wait to experience the day. Okay, great. Let's do that. Okay, and then you start into your day instead of looking to conditioned mind to tell you what the sensations in your body mean and having you react from that, to just simply be here with whatever is going on and refer to life. Now, one of my favorite things to do with that is just say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're making your bed. I love you, bed. Plumping your pillow. I love you, pillows. Making your tea or your coffee. Right? I love you, stove. Love you, tea. Love you, cup. Love you. I love you. Love you, sky. Love you, birds. Now, the whole world would say, oh, that is some serious California woo-woo bull hockey, right? And that's fine because those are the people who will be devoted to suffering until they die.
Well, you know what? When you said that, one thing that has stuck with me, which you said to me years ago in group, was that people will spend years trying to get away from a sensation.
Yes. Yes. Instead of just realizing it's a sensation.
Yeah.
That's all. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to say is I'm starting a new job next week, and so there's a lot of, you know, this quote, what conditioning would label as nervousness and anxiety rather than excitement, and oh boy, I better go running and do, you know, all my physical stuff so I'll feel the endorphins, you know, so.
And you could, you know, just go right to the excitement.
Right, right, and so it's really good to talk about this because, there's a lot on my plate, a huge amount on my plate right now. So
yeah, and you're equal to it. So to let conditioning talk you into, you have to dissipate all the energy that would enable you to go into this new job and have everything that you need and enjoy it and have fun with it and that sort of thing. Okay, you need to dissipate all the energy so that you're just left with enough sensations that we can call it anxiety, and then put you in dread and worry and fear and suck the energy out of you until you're depressed. Okay, so we have choice one over here, or we have choice two over there. I'm rooting for you to pick choice one, right? I have all this great energy. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Very good.
Yep, yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrea.
Thanks.
Sherry, we have so many people, a record number of people in the queue that I'm just going to keep bringing people on.
Because they're not at work. I love that. Oh, I love that.
All right, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in California.
Hello, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey. Well, I really enjoyed yesterday's assignment because it kind of perfectly kind of, you know, said what I've sort of looked at for years now. I've been looking at, so if there's like something going on in life, like we're nearing the end of a very sizable home repair project, right? And what conditioning wants is for me to stay in this place of, okay, you just need to kind of, you know, grip the rails and hold on until this is done.
Survive.
Yeah, exactly. And that anything else should just be like, you know, pushed aside.
Right.
And instead, what I noticed was there was actually a fair amount of willingness just to kind of stay here, you know, like not drop, you know, like in years past, like when things like this would come up, you know, I'd stop taking care of my stuff, stop eating well, not attend to other things that are going on in life. But there was a lot of willingness to kind of stay with it and be here for it and everything else.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that too far out there?
Well, no, because it's actually kind of funny because I've been looking at, like, So as these things often go, you know, once they started to work on it, it was actually a much worse problem to solve than we initially had hoped, right?
And
I can see there's a real juncture there of, like, I could go to, oh, my God, or even, like, you know, out in the world, what was reflected is, oh, my God, you know, about this. And instead, you know, what I got to was, like, wow, I mean, I'm actually really glad we're doing this because we needed it more than I thought, and I'm really happy that the people who are doing it are really competent, and you know, and so it's just so clear, you know, when in the midst of all that, it's like, okay, conditioning just wants me to be miserable. That's its only goal.
Yes, that's
nothing
it.
About the.
Yeah.
There's nothing about the, you know, being in that state of fear and miserableness that's going to do anything other than keep me unconscious to what's actually here.
Yes. And the thing about it is, it's your house. Right? It's your home. And you are being able to take care of it. I can only guess that when this is over, it will be a much, in quotes, better home. Right? Because it'll be repaired in ways that will make it last longer and hopefully be more enjoyable to you.
Oh,
is
yeah.
That true?
Yeah. Sure,
yeah.
Sure. And it's like, yeah, it's just so fun because, like, I found myself, like, I'd be, like, interacting with the people who are actually doing the real work on this. And I'd be laughing or, like, you know, saying, oh my God, I'm so glad that we actually found this. and like be surprised at, you know, hearing that coming out of my mouth because that is actually how I feel, but that's not how I'm supposed to feel.
Oh, right. Right. Oh, this is a tragedy. Yeah. And there's supposed to be an element of blaming them, right? Being kind of taking it out on them because they are the agents of your misery. Rather than, you know, they're really there trying to do the best job they can for you. And like the rest of us, they would like to be acknowledged and appreciated. And
but
conditioning doesn't want any of that.
Yeah, and it provides a big opportunity to look for other places that occurs because, you know, I have some building experience. And so, like, when this got worse, you know, quote-unquote worse, you know, I could see how, like, I could go to that blame place out of ignorance, you know, to, like, you know, they hadn't seen, you know, it's not like we had, like, you know, cracked open the can to find the bad food in it yet. I mean, they had to crack it open and see what was there. And it's not their fault that the can wasn't open before. You know, they're just like, this is what we're seeing. You know, and so then you kind of expand that into everything in life. It's like, well, I only know what I know, right? And so how many other places are someone bringing something to me where I can just, you know, obviously practice is constantly like this. It's like, you know, here's this thing I'm presented. I don't really get what's going on here. But rather than going to that place of, you know, I can go to that place and just kind of be there and, you know, soak in whatever is there for me.
Well, and it's that place, Bob, that we talk about so much of looking at life from the perspective of, in the vast scheme of things, this is my one and only opportunity to awaken and end suffering. So everything in life is taking me in that direction. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time for all of us when the direction that life was taking us in to move us toward this was everything in your life is going to go exactly the way you don't want it to go. And you're going to get so miserable that you're finally going to give up on ego making your life work. I think we can all remember that stage, right? Mm-hmm. But now you realize, wow, I actually recognize I am on a path of awakening. I can see the awakening happening, right? I'm laughing with these people who are giving me bad news, basically, in quotes, right? And so I know that this is happening. And as we recognize that and realize that, then everything, we approach everything with that, well, how is this going to work out to enlighten me?
Yeah. And looking to that, then either to like conditioning or to like some external source that's going to bring whatever it has to it.
Yeah. But you're looking at this as, wow, I've seen a process here. Where else in life does this show up?
Yep.
You know, you just can't lose. Whatever this is costing you, it is well worth every penny.
Good.
Right?
Yep.
Because it's all working toward your awakening. It's all there to help you in suffering. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
All righty. I'm going to jump off and let someone else in that long queue get on. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob. You know, just one thing about that, Cherry, I just wanted to underline that shift in perspective from being aware, which the quote was pointing us to, which is being aware of all that is working rather than all that is not.
Yes.
That orientation of how's this for me? What is really here? Rather than that, I mean, negative is an interesting word to use. Yeah, but that perspective about what it's not rather than what it is.
Yes. Yeah. And we can see it, whether it's Andrea's, what's going on with Andrea, or what Bob is describing. It's the same process.
Yes.
How can we take you out of the moment and take you into a story of something wrong, not enough?
Yeah.
Constant. Yep.
Constant. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Mary Jane in Palo Alto.
Hey, Mary Jane.
Hi, I was sorry, caught off guard.
just like life. Just like life to catch us off guard, huh? Yeah.
Yes. You know, because I've started to get the practice of calling, like, whenever I'm on the call, just putting myself in the queue. You know, and then I was nervous, but then I got more relaxed. So I do like being in the queue, though. It keeps you a little more conscious of everyone talking.
Yep. Yep, on our toes.
Yeah, so the assignment yesterday, I can really feel it so strongly that just one little thing wrong, like everything else is great, or this thing is not going well, it's going well except for this aspect. And it's funny because I sometimes accuse other people in my life of not being optimistic. And I realized that it's more pervasive than I thought, than I realized. Just finding, because it's like, oh, I'm actually happy. I'm happy a lot more of the time than I used to be. So I think I'm not aware as much of how, because I'm actually in a better, the sensations or whatever, it's just, I'm overall in a better place. So I don't pay attention as closely to how conditioning does kind of say, oh, except for that.
Well, Mary Jane, what you're pointing at is just big for all of us, right? So that's how conditioning operates. So I don't see when I'm being pessimistic.
Mm.
I don't see that. But you try to be pessimistic and watch me jump in the middle
realistic,
of your chest.
Exactly. When I do that,
that's
realistic.
Right. Oh yes, I'm realistic. You're pessimistic. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Let's just put different opposite there, right? Yeah. Yeah. And we just simply don't see how we are, and then somebody else is the way we are, and boom, we are on them, right?
Mm.
And conditioning has us believing that what we're seeing is actually true. So that's the power of projection, isn't it? Understanding projection.
What we're
so it's what
is true. I see. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's what Bob was pointing us to, right? We follow that back and go, oh, where is this showing up in my life? So, you know, he's being so negative. Ooh, where does negativity show up in my life? That's where it gets really interesting.
Well, and what are some ways, I mean, I think what you said of just loving everything, like, I did that after you mentioned it. I said, oh, I love you, washing machine, and, you know, whatever I'm doing. But what are some practices? So when I can see it towards the other person, and then these sensations, right, get really strong because there's this huge irritation. And all I've known to do is just to give myself a time out and follow the breath and get back in my body, and then I can reorient. But I want to kind of get at that source, that it seems that there's definitely this trigger within myself to want to spot the negative.
Yes.
Like it feels vindicated. I don't know. There's something like, oh, I gotcha, or I'm better than you. I don't know. I'm trying to get to the source of it, but maybe that's part of being in the story. Of my this projection.
Well, I think what you've gotten to is exactly that. That you don't have to look deeper than that. That is what's going on. So ego is constantly doing that two-sided thing. So ego is controlling me to keep me in a negative place because something wrong, not enough. That's where it lives. So it's got to constantly be finding something wrong, not enough. But if I can't know that that's going on with me. So that I think I just wrote about that last month in the newsletter about, so I have a story, conditioned story, that I believe that I'm optimistic. And so conditioning, so I never have to look because I'm a really optimistic person. And so conditioning is constantly out there looking for people who aren't optimistic. And then I can judge them and be superior to them. Because,
that is so good.
Yep, because I'm optimistic and they're not. And, I'm sorry that they're that way. But I really don't have time for them because I'm an optimistic person and I need to
get
on with
my optimistic
life. And it
makes me feel more
optimistic,
right? Like, oh, I'm not like them.
I'm not like them, yeah. And I fail to notice that, ooh, this is really negative. Right?
Exactly.
This is a really pessimistic view of life. that I need to decide who is not optimistic and then judge them.
Yeah. Okay. That is stuff to, yeah. I will definitely re-listen to this record, this show today. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And so from now on, when that happens, you can go, oh, okay, I see you. So I'm going to actually move to a truly optimistic place, which is, you know, I'm not going to need to listen to you for the rest of my life. I'm going to be able to move past this. Yeah.
I don't need to prove that I'm optimistic. You know, there's someone who wants to prove that she's a good, right? Maybe that makes you a good person or something. So,
and ego really wants to keep that dualistic game going.
Yeah.
Make her feel better. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Make her feel better. She's better than other people. Say, you know, that's that, you know, thank God I'm not like others. You know, that is not a good
prayer.
It's like
the opposite of the jealousy. It's like jealousy is the other part of that. I mean, it's the same coin of better than or worse than.
Precisely. And ego doesn't care which side it's got you on. As long as it's got you on one, and you're either puffed up or beaten up, and ego is calling the shots.
I'm going to write that down. You're either puffed up or beaten up, and ego, okay.
All right. Thanks, Mary Jane.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary Jane. It's that, it's just a wonderful clue into how self and other are maintained, right? That it's all about identity maintenance. I'm optimistic as defined in opposition to those who are pessimistic.
Yes, precisely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that your musings article recently?
I believe it was.
I believe that no self and other rings a little bell somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good article.
It must be in whole mind, Sherry. Well, here's our next caller. I think we have time for one more. You're live on the air.
Good.
Yourself.
Hi, it's Monica.
Hey, Monica.
Hello. Oh, gosh, what a great conversation, all of them. Well, I was thinking about how, you know, my favorite thing in practice is when you hear something and then kind of have the experience of it. And it kind of happened around what this quote is pointing to. And for me, around the body, like, it's just a huge area of torture for ego. And, you know, always like what's not working or not right, blah, blah, blah. And recently I just decided to shift that to, like, the appreciation recording about, like, you know, everything that works, you know, the eyes and the ears and the just everything. I mean, it's endless, like, what's happening.
There's
any
so
given
much,
moment.
On any
like,
given, yeah, that there's so much
oh
in
God,
the body
like,
that's working. Yep.
Every second, like, all the everything, like, and not just, like, right now, but, like, for 55 years, like, no matter what I've done to it, like, no matter... And so just a huge shift. It's like literally the things that I complain about, which I've been complaining or ego's been getting my attention with for decades, are like on one hand. And then there's like, but it's been getting me for all this time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like just, yeah. And anyway, just watching like, so those things still are there, the five things. But it's just, it is a process of just not, I mean, it's just so much in that because it's like the shift of attention that you've talked about, you know, what do I want to focus on, these five things or these 500,000 things, you know?
Yes.
Anyway, so it's been really great.
Oh, that is so powerful. Right. So the voice in the head says, you know, I don't like my skin.
Right.
I just don't like the shape of my feet. I can't, you know, I just can't wear sandals in the summer because my feet are so ugly. And for decades, somebody is going to listen to that, feel bad about it, have that determine their life experience. And when we step, when we see it, as you're saying, when we see it and we step back, it is so, I don't know whether it's stupid or sad, right? It's just pathetic. But we all are trained to do it.
Yeah.
Find the one thing in this moment that is not working and give all my attention and energy to that. Oh, my God.
Right. And what you just said, like, it dictates so much of our lives, you know, like this one thing that we believe about our feet or our skin, it dictates and predicts, like, this, you know, the skin is a great example for me because it's like, oh, I know what, you know, already like 20 years ago, I was already worried about where it was going, you know. Like, it's just like
when it was,
it's
when
that,
it was really good.
When it was really good. Yeah, exactly. And, there was something about that, but yeah, the way that it dictates, and I forgot the rest of that, but yeah, that it's fascinating, and it's liberating, of course, to be able to step out of it. Oh, I know what I was going to say. It's like such a, I've heard this before too. It's like it's such an insult or arrogance, like to say that this expression of life isn't perfect the way it is. You know, so it's like, who's to say that this is the wrong kind of skin to have or the wrong kind of hair to have or whatever? It's like such an arrogance to say that there's this other, it negates like everything that's great about this human because this one thing isn't the way that
ego
tries to tell me it should be.
So we call it dissing God.
Right, exactly.
So here's this beautiful expression of life, and there's this one thing that ego says, I hate that. And that's going to be, so there are no thank yous. They're just why do I have this hair? Everybody else has really great hair. Everybody, you know that. Everybody else has really great hair, and I have this. That is truly an ungrateful position to go through life in. Yeah.
All right.
Oh, that's
and
good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was just going to say, because of my work, like, I'm constantly around people who, like, really actually can't swallow or can't walk or, you know, like, people who have. And so it was, I don't know what took me so long, but it's, like, so in my face all the time of how many things that I can do that other people can't do. And anyway,
Yeah, and the one thing I would add to that is, how critical it is that we not let self-hate take that. Well, you're so ungrateful. Look at this. We're just staying with, wow, what a con job that is. That with everything I have to be grateful for, that voice can get me to focus on the one thing that it says should be improved. Nah, we're not doing that anymore. We're just not doing that. All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Monica.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Monica. It's self-hate. Hating the self for being self-hating is still self-hate.
Kind of compounded, right? Yeah, piling it on. Yeah.
Well, it's the same process of dissing God. It's just so we don't need to do it.
Yeah, right. We don't need to feel bad about it. We just need to stop it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, thank you, and I love you. That's plenty. Thank you, and I love you. No,
well,
they're not exclusive.
Exactly. That the ability to be compassionate to and willing to be of assistance in the recognition of other people who need it is not an unequal position to being absolutely grateful for everything we have.
Yes.
It's only love sees equality. You know, pity sees a lack of equality.
Yes. Yeah. It's compassion, not pity. Yeah.
That's right. Exactly.
Which is
recognizing the God within that is being and also that we're not seeing that note of intelligence hasn't yet seen it for itself, and we can relate to that experience of being disconnected.
Yes. And as we're relating to that experience of being disconnected, we can also mirror the authentic nature that they are not yet fully in touch with.
Exactly. Well, that brings us to the end of a wonderful show. And since we're over time, which I just realized, how about I read assignment for today?
Sounds good. Something liberating, I hope.
Let's see. I have now reigned about 50 years in victory or peace, beloved by my subjects, dreaded by my enemies, and respected by my allies. Riches and honors, power and pleasure have waited on my call. In this situation, I have diligently numbered the days of pure and genuine happiness which have fallen to my lot. They amount to 14.
Wow.
Conditioning works hard to make us believe the lie that if the externals of life were different, we would be happy and satisfied. Even though that's been disproved many, many times, we continue to believe the lie when we're identified with ego. It's so believable. I'm not happy. I ask the question, why am I not happy? That question is usually asked without my conscious knowledge in the unconsciousness of conditioned mind. Through the same unconscious process, the answer I receive is, you're not happy because of X, Y, or Z. Makes so much sense as long as we don't examine it. As soon as we examine our circumstances, we realize we're unhappy because we're in an unconscious conversation and conditioned mind rather than being present where we are. Today, shift attention from unconsciously ruminating with ego and conditioned mind about what's wrong and bring attention to the pure and genuine happiness of this here now. Record and listen.
Hmm. Wow. I think that's one of the most sobering quotes I've ever encountered. Mm-hmm. 50 years of a life that ego would identify as the perfect life, and the man had 14 days of happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to turn this around today.
Yes, we do.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Ashwini.
Sherry.
Thanks,
everybody.
Thank you
for your patience for us going a little bit over.
Yes, indeed. Have a great fourth. Go happy. Take care.
Be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Sherry.